Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pray. Almighty Father, you are truly wonderful. You are God of gods, Lord of lords. And I just praise your holy name. And I pray, Father, that we would recognize that we are people chosen for your purposes. That you have a ministry for us, and that we are to faithfully accomplish that ministry. And I pray you would just encourage our hearts and thrill us with the anticipation of serving you and bringing glory into your holy name. Help us to be faithful, to bring you the glory, because you are the one worthy of all praise and honor and glory. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So Paul is continuing in his instruction of the young pastor Timothy as to how to conduct his ministry. And I will remind you again that we as believers have a ministry. We have been given a task by God to glorify God in the way that we live. And so I don't really care how old you are, or whether you consider yourself retired, or how young you are, or consider yourself not worthy. It does not matter. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God has a plan for your life and something for you to do, no matter what your age or your other situation is. God is using you to bring glory into his name and furthering the kingdom of God. And so Paul is instructing Timothy on his role as a pastor and what he is to do. And the main issue that is addressed today in our sermon and in this text is the issue of perseverance. We are in a battle. The world has rebelled against God, and we are in as being on the side of God, have to enter into that battle. And it's a long battle. If you study your scriptures carefully, you know that the scripture talks of a long, hard-fought battle with the enemies of God. With God being victorious at the end, that's good news. We know by reading the back of the book that we are victorious, that we are going to win, that even if our physical life ends, our spiritual life will be for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wins, but there's other consequences to sin as well. There is a judgment that is coming. Now, Christians do face a judgment. Don't want you to think that you're off scot-free, but our judgment's a little bit different. Our judgment is that we have either done a good job of serving Christ, or we have been neglectful in our responsibility. The other judgment, though, is a judgment that God makes, that you either have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have not. If you have trusted Him, you are judged righteous through the righteousness of Christ, and you will live eternally with God. If you have not trusted Jesus, you will be judged as a sinner, rebellion against God, and the punishment is eternal damnation. But until that judgment comes, we will continue to be in a fight with the enemy. The enemy wants to destroy as many lives as possible. The enemy isn't really concerned about forming an army against God, because the enemy knows that he cannot beat God, but he doesn't want you to spend eternity with God. No matter how much you may think Satan and his demons are interested in man, the only interest that they have is to keep you from Christ. They want you to spend eternity in hell with them. And so there's a fight. And those of us who have trusted in the Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior need to fight on and stand firm against the enemy and follow the commandments of God as they are laid out in here. And that's what Paul's message to Timothy is this morning here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So we're in a battle, but we're not in a battle of our own. We're in a battle with God. God has not only called us and has gifted us to be able to perform the ministry that He has placed before us, but He has also provided the means so that we might have victory in our ministry. That victory may not seem like a victory to the world, but if we are faithful and we serve God and we bring Him glory, our physical ending doesn't matter. We have been faithful to serve God and to glorify Him. So Paul tells Timothy to stand strong. God's going to deliver. Verse 2. "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be about to teach others, who will be able to teach others as also." So, lots of stuff here. This is an ongoing mission of the church. We do not, are the caretakers of the message of God. God has chosen to reveal Himself to man through the church. And throughout all of history, God has called us to be a witness of how great our God is and His plan of salvation for man. And so we have this responsibility to pass on what we have been given. Paul spent a lot of time in study and prayer, and God revealed to him Himself and His plan, and Paul passed it on. He passed it on, start with at Damascus, then he went to Jerusalem, then he started out in the northern territories and went throughout the Greek world, proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's still a responsibility that we have today. We don't make up the doctrines of the church. We are to follow the commandments that have been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been entrusted with these things. We are not the end of all things spiritual. We have just been given a short-term gift of ministry, and we are to pass on those responsibilities of that ministry to others. And these who we pass it on to are to be those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and have qualified themselves to be faithful, to follow the commands of God, and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as we go forth. And so our task, whether you are a pastor or you are what we would call layman, is that we would be able to teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul has been working to establish an ongoing church, and so he calls Timothy to be the same type of person. Here you have heard the message from God about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pass this on to faithful men who will be able to pass it on in their own ministries of teaching the gospel to the next generation. My time as a pastor is growing short. I'm getting long in the tooth. And so I'm going to pass on that ministry. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to do nothing, but I'm going to help. I'm not going to be up in the pulpit every Sunday and proclaiming, but I'm going to help others to develop those talents, and I'm going to teach them the concept of true doctrine, not just the desires of man or what's comfortable, no compromises, no additions, no subtractions from the Word of God, day in and day out preaching what God has told us about Himself. That should be our task. That should be what we are interested in. That when you walk out this door and you talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're not telling them something false, but that you're telling them the hope that there is in Christ Jesus. So that takes the full doctrine of God. That means that we have to show that God, whose nature is love, has condemned sinful man. And you will go to hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's a message that needs to be proclaimed. Yes, it's important for people to understand God's forgiving love. He loves without us needing to love. But God will punish the wicked. And the wicked needs to know that. They need to understand that this temporary solution of God showing mercy by not killing you and sending you to hell right now, there will be a day when that offer is rescinded and you will stand in eternal misery before God if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So this needs to be taught and continue to be taught and proclaimed in all the world. Verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul again reminds Timothy that we are in this battle. The world is against God, and therefore the world is against God's people. This works itself out in the persecution of the church. And it doesn't take much to look at the history of the world to see that there is suffering for those who faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, be prepared to stand firm in persecution. It's worth it. It's an eternal glory. It's not temporary pain, but eternal glory that God is going to give us. Verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So, quite frankly, life is vastly different for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Yes, we have a hope that other people do not, but our whole everyday life and activity is different because we have trusted in Jesus. We are in this battle with the forces of wickedness in heavenly places, yet we live in this world, but we are not to get bogged down by the affairs of this world. Worldly riches, worldly power, worldly pleasures are all temporary. So it's not, shouldn't be that difficult to give up those things if they are necessary. And so the soldier who's in active service doesn't concern himself with his day-to-day earthly affairs because he is there to fight the battle of those who have enlisted him. We are there to fight the battle for what God has given us. And so our objective is to live in such a manner as to bring glory to God, and that is job one before anything else. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Now, we're in a society and a world that likes to shift rules and laws and change meanings of words so that we can get by with whatever process or thought we want, but that's not truth. God has established certain things about the world, and unlike the world that can be changing, the commandments of God, they're constant. And our command is to obey the commands of God. And our goal, again, is that we would bring glory unto God. So an athlete cannot win a prize if they don't follow the rules. We will not win a prize if we don't put everything into the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of crops. So our efforts are not without reward. God has promised blessings for his faithful. God shows throughout his word how he blesses those who are faithful. And the greatest promise of all is that we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that. No matter what difficulties, trials, tribulations we face on this earth, we have been promised eternal life in Christ Jesus. That is what we have to look for. That is a goal that we will receive as we have trusted in Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So what Paul is talking about and what we find as we study the Word of God is not just theory. There isn't just, here's a really nice religion, and if you follow this, theoretically these things should happen. But there's reality in the Word of God. Paul encourages Timothy to consider that there is a truth, and that truth is worth fighting for the glory of God. It would be foolish for me to have spent 42 years preaching if I thought it was just a game, that there was no real value to it. It was just a theory. It's another philosophy of man. The Christian religion, which is kind of a strange way of putting it, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. It is something worth living for and something worth dying for. Consider what we have. We have the hope of mankind in the message of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when we think about these things, then we can understand them better, and we should be able to express them better to each other for encouragement. You know, the apostle leaves messages to us throughout the world, word, and some of the greatest comforts in the world is his testimony of eternal life. This life is going to end. Every one of us in this room will either go to be with God in death, or we will be present at the rapture and be caught up together with the saints that have died before us. One of those two things is going to happen. But the fact of the matter is that we can take comfort in that. Those loved ones that I have that have passed on and are gone already, but they knew Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we will be together again. So there's sadness at a passing because you don't get to see that person for a while, but there's still hope in that passing as well. But the saddest thing that I've ever experienced is to preach funerals for those who obviously are not Christians. There's no hope to give to that family. That's all there is to it. If you're being truthful, you can't give them false hope and say, well, you know, now they're an angel and stuff like that. One, we don't become an angel, so that doesn't happen anyway. But two, if somebody dies without the Lord Jesus Christ, they will lift up their eyes in hell in torment. And you won't be with them if you believe in Christ. There will be a permanent separation. That's sad. And it's avoidable. Trust Jesus. It's that simple. Trust Him. Verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. We are not without example of unselfish service. Jesus shed His glory. Jesus was God, is God, walked on the earth, became flesh, and He faithfully completed the task that was given to Him by God to become the sacrifice for our sins. He let them nail Him on the cross, and He shed His blood so that we might have hope. And when we think of the example that Jesus gave, it should strengthen us to serve God and be mindful of what we can do to encourage others to accept that faith. Verse 9, for which I suffer hardship, even imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. So no matter what our service is, no matter what our suffering is, we are to continue to focus on Jesus and His gift of salvation so that we might complete the ministry of the gospel, disregarding the earthly circumstances. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to Timothy. Most likely it was imprisonment that led to his death. But he didn't care about his circumstances. He said, you know what? My physical body is contained, but the message of God is not contained. We still have the opportunity to tell people that there's hope in trusting in Jesus. That word cannot be imprisoned. In fact, that word cannot be stopped unless somebody kills us, actually. We can speak to the end of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then move on to eternal glory. Verse 10. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. For this reason, because there is a hope. Paul looked at the big picture. And the big picture is exactly what it is. God, in His mercy and in His infinite love, and according to His eternal plan, has chosen a people. A people to be the sons of God. And the way that you enter into that little clan of people is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the way that you learn to trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to hear the gospel message. And therefore, those of us who know that Jesus is the answer, that's our job, is to share that good news. God has called an elect. I've heard before the example of this whole concept about the elect. It's a good example, I think. That's why I'm going to share it with you. So there's a whole crowd of people in the world. Not all of them are going to be saved. All have the same hope, though, or have the same chance. God is not stopping people from going to hell, or going to heaven. God has clearly showed that He is God, and He has a plan for salvation. If you choose not to accept that plan of salvation, then you have declared yourself unworthy of that eternal life. But there are those out there that God has chosen. It's like somebody sowing a field with diamonds. They're not going to be easy to find, but they're out there. And so if I knew somebody did that here around town, I'd be out there looking for it. Because I don't mind finding a few diamonds. They're out there. Those whom God has called, those whom He has chosen are out there, and we just need to tell them about Jesus. So they can see that hope, and repent of their sins, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we preach salvation so that they may hear and believe. And whatever our physical circumstances are as ministers of the gospel, they are of secondary importance. No matter how difficult it is, share about Jesus as you have opportunity. Verse 11. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we die with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. This is one of the most marvelous hymns that we find in the Scripture. It's an encouragement to those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we die with Him, we shall also live with Him. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ causes us to die to our sins and our rebellion and our weaknesses, and God gives us a new and everlasting life with all the promises. We die to the passions and the goals of this life, then we live to bring glory unto God. For if we die with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Again, life is going to be a struggle. We are struggling. But the end is the glory of God, the blessings for His faithful. And the encouragement that I would give you is that you don't even have to endure the end on your own. God will sustain you. So endure, keep going, regardless of the hardship, and you will reign with Him. But here's the real sad news. If you deny Him, meaning if you don't trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that day of judgment comes, you stand before God, and God asks you if you're worthy or not. Jesus will really say, no, they didn't trust in Me. Because that's it. That's the hope. That's the standard. That's what tells it all. You either trust in Jesus and are saved, or you continue to do whatever else you do, and you're going to face eternal damnation. So if you deny Him, He will deny you. That's not unloving. That's just the hope that we have as believers, that God will keep the new heaven and the new earth without sin. All right, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. See, this is one of those things that's really marvelous. Even in our new life in Christ, there's times that we fail and cannot bear the burdens that we're supposed to bear. And if we fail to trust God, God still remains true to His nature. He is still God. He is still going to care for His own. He's going to bring about everything that He has promised. He is faithful. There's not a word of His that He has given to His people that will pass away. If you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are His, and He will care for you eternally. Because He cannot deny Himself. God is God. You know, so many gods in our world are fashioned after the passions of man. But God is not like that. He's much different. His attributes are eternal. The things that God is do not change. His faithfulness to His people, to His chosen, is eternal. I love that passage in John where it says that God holds us in His hand and no one can take us out of that hand. That's an eternal promise of hope for those of us who are Christ. Because God is unchanging and cannot deny Himself, He's going to hold me in His hand until everything's done and we are together with Him. The message that Paul has for Timothy this morning is quite simple. We are in a spiritual battle. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, stand firm. Trust God. Follow Him. God will deliver. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this marvelous hope that You have given us in Christ Jesus. And I pray that You would be glorified in and through our lives. Sustain us in our battles as we fight. Help us, Lord, to be faithful servants, that we would be living to bring glory into Your holy name, so that others may see and believe and be snatched from eternal damnation. Thank You, Father, for this marvelous hope of eternal life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Go with us and strengthen us with these words. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.